I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Welcome to the program, Keys to the Kingdom, brought to you by St. Peter's Anglican Church, Belmont. Here is your key for today.
Paul made this defense before King Agrippa. He told him, "Now I am on trial because of my hope in the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors. In fact, that's why the 12 tribes of Israel zealously worship God night and day, and they share the same hope I have. Yet, Your Majesty, they accuse me of having this hope." We are reading from Acts chapter 26, verse 12 to verse 18. We are reading from Acts chapter 26, verse 12 to verse 18, and I'm using the New Living Translation. "One day I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priests. About noon, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will.' 'Who are you, Lord?' I asked. And the Lord replied, 'I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. You are to tell the world what you have seen and what I will show you in the future. And I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles, to open the eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from powers of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me, the word of God." Paul, when he was transformed from Saul, he got zealous in preaching the gospel of Christ. He made several trips to different places where he preached the word of God. Agrippa requested that he would meet with Paul. Paul was presented before King Agrippa. Now, if you read verse 1, Agrippa gives Paul an opportunity to talk about himself. Actually, it says, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You may speak in your defense.' So Paul gestured with his hand and started his defense." Paul says to King Agrippa, "You know everything. You know our traditions, and I expect you to judge me fairly, or for you to inform Festus that actually I mean that I am doing the right thing." Verse 12 to verse 18, Paul gives his testimony. And this is an interesting testimony. It is talking about his mission to Damascus, where he was going to persecute the believers. Simply putting it, that people who are accusing me probably are wrong, because I was like them. I would accuse, I would fight those who are preaching the gospel. You need to understand the kind of people who are listening to Paul. They're not just mere, you know, leaders. These are key leaders. Festus, the great man, a great administrator. We also know that Bernice was a sister to King Agrippa, who was actually sleeping around with the king at that time, according to different commentaries. We know Agrippa was part of the family of Herod. The name Herod is not new to our ears when it comes to the life of Christians. So these are key leaders who are interacting with Paul, and probably Paul could have said, "There is no hope for me. I shouldn't be saying anything to these people." Paul does not begin to defend himself. Paul gives his testimony. Paul would have said that they are accusing me falsely. I have not done such a thing. Paul gives his testimony as a way of winning these people to Christ. He does not miss his word. Where does Paul get this confidence? If you read verse 17, the Bible says, "And I will rescue you from both your own people," those are the Jews, "and the Gentiles." Paul had this confidence. God had already given him this assurance that he was going to be persecuted, but he would end up winning because God is on his side. So when Paul begins to share his testimony, we are not shocked, we are not worried that Paul is just landing himself in trouble. You know, sometimes when you go to court, people tell you, never plead guilty. Just say, "I don't know, I never committed such and such a case." But Paul openly says, "I have done this. I have preached. And where am I coming from? This is my journey." He is not ashamed of the gospel. Do we ever use our trials as the opportunity to preach the gospel? Because everyone wants to listen to you. Everyone pays attention because they're interested in hearing what you are going to say. I remember one man who was about to be persecuted was given an opportunity to speak to the media. Instead of saying, "I'm not guilty," he just said, "I am going to die, but I pray that you will come to Christ." The martyrs were going to be burned. They were given a chance, but they continued to sing. Jesus appeared before Pilate. He appeared before all these leaders. But Jesus decided to share the gospel even in such a moment. Do you ever use your trying time as a platform to preach the gospel of Christ? Paul also points out that these people are zealously following what they don't know. Because if you read verse 6 and verse 7 of this chapter in Acts 26, you realize that they are serving the same God. And Paul says, "We are following this promise. Why is it that they are trying to kill me? What are they after? If we are all following Christ, then I have no case. We are in the same boat. If you are to judge me, they must be judged too." And I have had very many people who have known Christ, and they are busy fighting fellow believers. They are busy saying, "Oh, those ones are going to the extreme." Today, listen to any preacher around the world. You will see it's all about fighting one another. We are following the same God, but we are quick to say, "Oh, this one does not speak in tongues," or, "Oh, this one does not perform miracles," or, "Oh, this one does not have the Holy Spirit." We begin to attack one another, yet we are serving the same God. Paul is saying, "Am I any different? They believe in the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. Why is it that I am put in chains?" In Paul's plea, we realize that actually there is a God who supersedes all sorts of authority, all human authority. He says in verse 12, "One day I was on a mission to Damascus, armed with authority and commission of the leading priest. About noon, Your Majesty, I was on the road. A light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions." There is a mighty God who is in charge of everything. He is not a respecter of men. Because Paul had authority from leading pastors. He was commissioned. Think about somebody who has authority. Whatever they say, you must obey. But that was just earthly authority. It wouldn't in any way supersede the mighty God who has the final say. We need to be careful when we are in leadership. We need to remember that there is one who has given us authority, so we shouldn't misuse it. Paul was misusing the authority that he had. Today we have leaders who are misusing their authority, forgetting that there is a mighty God, one who has given them authority. The Bible tells us that all authority comes from God. Remember, you don't have the final say. It's only God who does. Our authority can never supersede the authority of God. Realize that our earthly authority will go against the authority of the Most High. In verse 14, Jesus is speaking to Saul. He says to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He says, "Why are you fighting against me? You can never win this battle." And we have believers who have fought the will of God. I don't need to believe in God. God does not exist. God doesn't do this. They have all these arguments, but that can never change his will. And understand that actually Paul was fighting from an ignorant point of view. Because in verse 15, he's asking the Lord, he tells him, "Who are you, Lord?" When he says, "Who are you, Lord?" it does not mean that he knew God the Most High. But it was an expression of, "Who are you who is in charge?" That's why he's asking. And the Lord replies, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. I am the one who is in charge." He was fighting from an ignorant point of view. And today we have very many ignorant people, even in the body of Christ. Realize that Paul was a great leader, a learned fella, one who knew the Jewish culture, one who could be looked at as a great man, that he was ignorant. He was ignorant of this saving grace. And people who fight the gospel are ignorant. They might be even going to church. They might even own the Bible. But they have not discovered the truth. When Paul did, the Lord sent him out. He sent him out to rescue those who were lost, the Gentiles. He was going to draw them to God Most High, the Creator of heaven and earth, so that they shall be forgiven and they will also be part of this great family of believers. Friends, we can never fight the will of God. We need to realize that God has always protected his own. And even when we are being tried, we have this confidence that God will never leave us. The Lord bless you. The Lord watch over you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that blessing be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. I remain your servant, Reverend Emma Simina. God bless you.